Cities. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers, the show where you can find help and hope. With me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I have plenty of that. And we have Bobby on the board today. How you doing, Bobby?
Hello. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, I think we need a little rain. They're saying we're going to get some, but it just goes right over our area. Yeah, I don't know.
It rumbles here. It makes me want to turn all the phones off, and then nothing happens.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we have with us, as always, Lynn Thornley, my co-host, best friend, and sidekick, not psychic. Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm sitting outside. It's a balmy 99.2 on my patio.
Oh, my God, it's hot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's very hot. I was just, like, bringing some stuff out to the car this morning, just from the house to the car. I was like, woof, it's hot.
Enough. Yeah.
It's hot, but you know what? Could be snow.
You know, that's exactly what I say. I can always go in and cool off, but boy, when you're up north and it's cold, you go in the house, you're still cold.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
You got some new listeners?
Yeah, we have Mariah from Clearwater.
Okay.
And we have Jennifer from Safety Harbor.
Oh.
And we have Cynthia from Largo.
Oh, welcome, lady.
But I got to tell you what's really cool. So, you know, Mary Daniel was on the phone on the show last week.
I do.
So I just got this message. It says, here's the latest. Governor Ron DeSantis has appointed Mary Daniel to the task force to explore the safe and limited reopening of long-term care facilities.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It says, let me finish reading the rest here. It says, the group has not yet met, but I spoke to governor's office yesterday expressing the urgency to get started now. I have offered to chair the group since I believe my desire for immediate action is greater than the other members. I will continue to push because we need answers now. In the meantime, we are working to establish a contact call center where you can call with questions and concerns about rules, laws, regulations, neglect, and care concerns. Right now, we don't know what to do or who to call, and that's unacceptable. I will let you know when that will be available. Stay tuned. I know we need immediate action, and I will push every day to make that happen. Keep praying and telling your stories. We're getting closer.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
And she was on last week, right?
Yeah.
Well, she was on NBC News this week, so you beat them, honey.
This week she's in People Magazine.
Well, I know her from Connecting Caregivers Radio.
yeah. But it's just so fabulous. It shows what one woman could do. And then to band people together.
Woman.
And also, you know, a lot of people don't like Facebook, but I do. The power of Facebook. So now there's a Caregivers for Compromise in almost every state.
Oh, Lenny, that's so wonderful. Because, you know, a lot of the people whose loved ones are in these places, they're too old to take on the fight.
Yeah, and it's just too much.
They need help.
You know, I had a support group this morning, and one of the women there, she hasn't seen her husband in 5 months.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And then we're finding some people are bringing their loved ones home. And I've had a couple that have brought them home, but by the time they get them home, then they need hospice because they've declined so much. But at least they get to be with them at their home. And then I had another caregiver that took her loved one home, and it's probably the biggest mistake she ever made. Because she didn't realize how much he declined and how full time it is, and so it's a tough situation.
But it is.
And grateful to people like Mary Daniel.
Oh my goodness, good for her.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you have a good show today, I see.
Of course, we always do.
I'll say hi to Lauren.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Amanda, how are you?
Joyful and grateful, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Well, you started that whole thing with me. So this is my friend Lauren McLaughlin's on the line today to have some conversation with us. Lauren and I have known each other for over 10 years, I guess.
At least.
And things have changed over the past few years with everyone's situations. And Lauren found herself in a caregiving situation, and we chatted a few weeks ago, and she said, oh my goodness, you know, you don't realize it till you're in it, what it really is. So, Lauren, tell our listeners a little bit about you first, and then let's chat.
Okay. Well, my husband and I, John, are Unity ministers, and we had a very active life for, you know, taking care of large churches and going around after we retired, going around speaking and teaching, and we were writing and doing all sorts of things. He contracted neuropathy. At first, we didn't know what the problem was. He just began falling down. Then he began to have all kinds of terrible pain and all sorts of things. We went to every doctor in the world before they diagnosed it. Mm-hmm. And they did say it was a progressive disease, but those are words that you just don't hear. They seem to apply to everybody else, and you just ignore them.
Right.
So I learned all I could about the disease. John went from walking 5 miles a day to walking 3 miles a day to walking with a walking stick and then a cane and then finally a walker and eventually a power chair. So over a 9-year period with 6 different surgeries and 2 ICU hospitalizations for serious disease infections, he deteriorated each time, but I didn't realize that as he went down, my level of care went up.
Right.
And, you know, you and I have been on this show with you. We've talked about how to take care of yourself as a caregiver, to be sure you have enough respite, to be sure you have enough health. I knew all the rules better than most people.
Right.
But I just didn't see it coming. I think you, not only do you think it can't possibly happen to you, but you just aren't paying attention. It creeps up on you,
right,
as we've said. It's to be more and more and more and more. So about the first of this year, he had a surgery in October that really did debilitate him. He was in rehab for a month, but with neuropathy, every day that you're in bed sets you back 4 days of mobility.
Exactly.
So a month in the hospital is a lot of setback. And I didn't realize anything was worse than before until I found myself forgetting simple chores, and I made an error with his medication. Now, fortunately, it was just giving him nighttime medicine instead of daytime medicine, but I'd have fired anybody else for doing that.
Right.
I began to have frustration, small bouts of anger or sadness, and so did he. Then I started to have illnesses, aches and pains and headaches and signs of stress, itching and rashes and gout. You don't ever want to have that.
Well, that's no fun.
And finally, a hernia. And finally, it occurred to me, what would happen to John if they whisked me off in an ambulance?
Right.
Because we don't have any family and no caregiver other than 2 paid caregivers who took care of him from 9 to 11 in the morning, and then I had him the other 22 hours.
Right.
So we began to talk about it, first not very seriously and then a little more seriously. And we began looking for what we might do if that happened. And we found that they would simply put him in a nursing home because his level of care is nursing home care, even though his mind and emotions are not ready for that yet.
Right.
So what to do, right?
Yeah.
I called an assisted living facility where his oldest friend was. They'd known each other since junior high, and we thought, oh, well, that would be good.
Yeah.
And they said, we wouldn't touch him. We don't have anywhere near the ability to handle someone with his needs. But they referred me to Linda Lawrence from
Lisa.
Care Patrol. Lisa Lawrence from Care Patrol.
Yeah.
Now, that was just a word out of the blue, and I called her, and she was very helpful to me. I'm sure there are other services like hers. That's the only one I've ever used, but she gave me 3 possibilities after we went into great detail about what kind of care John would need.
Because there are so many choices. You don't know.
No, you sure don't. And I didn't know about these levels of care. I knew nothing about that. So we were just going into the pandemic restrictions, and one of them sent me a website, and the other one sent me some videos, but videos, in my opinion, can be very staged. So, and you couldn't go look at the facilities.
Right.
But the third one took me on a virtual tour with a laptop computer, went all over the place, talked to people. You know, it was beautiful. And he decided, and they sent over a meal for him to try, which I thought was really clever.
It is clever.
And he said it was passable, but if he didn't. But you have to understand, we live in Stratford Court, which is quite lovely, and
right.
John didn't like it here either. He didn't like the food. He didn't like anything. He can't help it. He's not half a happy man, and who
right.
would be? You know, I said to him over and over again, you got dealt a terrible blow because wherever you are, there you are. And that
yeah.
body is not the place to live that's very comfortable. We can give you all the care we can. I have to add here that one of the reasons I got into this terrible place, Linda, was not that I didn't love John enough and wanted to just send him away because I was tired and couldn't care for him anymore. I loved him way too much.
Right.
And I thought nobody else could take care of him.
Right.
So I didn't allow for any other solutions until there just had to be one. It was too late. And
right.
I would encourage anybody to, when you begin to notice that things are going a little bit wrong, that's the time to seek help. And that's the time to turn to family members and notify the family doctor and advise some close friends, call you,
right.
call anyone who you know is reliable and is going to care as much as you do that your patient be well cared for, because you're in such a state that you're not going to let go of him until you're pretty sure that.
And I see it. I see it all the time, and I say to my caregivers all the time, you may think you're the bomb caregiver. And you
yeah.
can't do it. Nobody can do it better than you. And blah, 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 blah. And I think many times your loved one is sitting there looking at you like, will you please just go away for a while? Like,
yeah, well, our relationship, which was one of the best, I think, ever in the world, deteriorated to almost nothing. We didn't even like each other, let alone love each other at that stage. It was just, he couldn't rely on me and I couldn't rely on myself. So
yeah.
it was pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you really have to do it, and it's terrible. And I heard you and Lynn talking about this pandemic thing. No one with a familiar face saw John from the 15th of October until Father's Day when they did a drive-by.
Yeah.
And that was awful.
Like, it's cruel.
Oh, it was more than cruel. And I'm sure that, and you know, he came out just thinking he did think I abandoned him, even though we chose this place together. He signed all the entrance papers.
Right,
we
but you didn't go
about
see
it
him
100 times. No. So you know, it's now he can see people behind a plexiglass shield, but if I come back into that view behind that shield, I'm pretty sure he's going to go back into that. Well, Lauren will fix everything again. And then when I can't,
right.
Again, we'll review the whole thing. So I'm deliberately not seeing him.
Right.
But I'm sure, I'm making sure other people do 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we did see some neglect. We did see it. I don't think cruelty. I don't think anybody did anything mean to him.
Right.
But they didn't put his fingernails. They didn't make sure his
right.
Chin was shaved where it would itch. I don't think they were taking care of
the things
that I thought no one would take care of.
They're so darn exhausted right now, too, because they're all overstretched.
Sure they are.
And I had a caregiver the other day talk to me, and she recently got to see her mom. And in a private room, and they had to sit 6 feet apart. And she said, my mom has lost 12 pounds. She said,
yeah,
I need
yeah.
to comb my mom's hair. I need to touch my mother. And the people that, so what this whole thing is that Mary DeSantis is working with, she wants to say that if you've been an essential caregiver, if you have or a person that visited your loved one 2 or more times a week before the pandemic, then you're essential. And you're essential to those communities, too, because when you're there, you're feeding mom. or you're combing her hair, or you're taking a walk with her. All the communities have lost all that help.
Yes, and we knew when going in that we were coming into this restriction. So they agreed that the caregivers that he had here, the two that were working with him here, would be able to come in there once a week and just solve his little problems.
Right.
You know, make sure his nails were clipped, make sure his neck was shaved, make sure he could find what he needed.
Right.
Have him put his glasses in a place he wouldn't lose them. They've never been able to go in the door. And his phone still has my answering service message on it, and no one can get in to change it. Oh. And, you know, those are the things that are so frightening in this area. But I really want to talk to people about any era, this need to know when to quit. You can't blame that on the pandemic.
Right.
that's a situation that is ongoing for just anybody. And if I had stopped 1 month sooner, we would have had a much smoother move and a much better opportunity for a good relationship the rest of our life. I don't know that we'll ever resume that.
And that's so sad. That's
the second heartbreak.
Yeah.
And you are sad. And I was a just unfunctionable for about a month and a half after he left. I simply stared at the wall and kept thinking, how could this have happened to us?
You're like, what's going on?
Yeah. What did I do? And of course, you didn't. It wasn't what you did, it was what you didn't do that made it worse than ever. So then it's time for you to take care of yourself. Call your doctor, call your family, call close friends. Find a place to rest and recover peacefully and consider counseling. Yeah. Emotional support counseling, spiritual counseling if you're spiritual. I offer that now, and I offered it before. But now I'm much more empathetic and compassionate than right. I ever was before. And most clergy will offer it. There are psychologists and psychiatrists. They're not for other people. They're for wounded souls if you happen to be one, and you probably are one.
Yeah.
And then slowly return to normal living, but do it a baby step at a time, because if you think you're going to jump right back into your old job or something else, you have been on another planet for a while.
Yeah.
I slept so deeply and still do that I wouldn't hear the doorbell. I wouldn't hear anyone knock on the door. I wouldn't hear someone screaming at me. John had a bicycle bell on his walker.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, subconsciously, that did penetrate. And I would wake up. But even when I was still taking care of him, I would sleep so soundly that he couldn't get me with his voice.
Yeah.
So that's exhaustion to a point of danger.
Yeah.
And it lasted long after he left.
Well, they say anybody that's been in a caregiving situation for an extended period of time, that usually it takes up to 2 years for their immune system to get back to where it really belongs.
Oh, because, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
because thanks for that information.
Yeah, sorry to give you that news, but...
Really good news, Linda.
I know.
Well, I think it's a form of PTSD. I'm no psychologist, but the trauma is so deep to lose your family to know because you lost your abilities.
Right.
Is just unthinkable. You can't imagine it happening to you.
No. Sorry. I mean, it's not like you were a woman that sat around on your behind and didn't have a life before this and do stuff.
No.
You know, like, I can handle this. I am woman, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, what?
And I had to lift him, you know, help him up from the chair to the next chair or to the chair to the bed or whatever,
right.
And developed a hernia that I knew could pop at any time. And I just didn't want him. That would have really been abandoning him.
Yeah.
So sending him off to this place where we felt it was the best we could get was the best I could do. But there is not a happy feeling about just the best you can do.
Right.
You feel like you should, if it is turns out not to be the best, you should be able to undo it and redo it. And in this day and age, that's just not possible.
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, and I try to, and I still encourage caregivers is to don't wait until you're burned out and be prepared. And please tell your family you're having problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to say anything. Oh, we're good. You know, if you have family that calls you, be honest with them. Say, I'm having a tough time. I need a little help here. Because many times the caregiver is so burned out and the family's like, well, we didn't have a clue.
No. And now they can't come help either. Not physically. But they can help you make decisions, and they can make telephone calls, and they can verify, and they can can find other resources that you just don't have the mental capacity to do, no matter how learned or smart or well informed you are. We all think we're way ahead of it, that we're better than anybody, not better than, but better informed than anybody else, and would make wiser decisions. Well, not me. I made terrible decisions.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, we have to hear. I don't want you to go away. We just need to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If we don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So
I got it.
We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So you know it's a little different during the pandemic. Getting help, it's a little different. But there's still things that caregivers can have help with. Maybe it's just too much for you to do all the paperwork and fill out the forms. Maybe you could just have somebody help you with that kind of stuff. So think about that. So, Lauren, we have two messages here. One message, a woman just messaged and she said, I am enjoying your friend and she is making me feel better.
Well, good.
So that's fabulous. And then I received another message here and the woman said, most of you probably feel like I did when the first signs of diagnosis became apparent. I became exhausted and overwhelmed and felt alone. I had no idea what resources were available, who to talk to, or how long the disease would take. I understand how you feel, and remember we're all doing the best we can, which I believe that, but I also believe that when you know better, you can do better.
Well, I do too, but I didn't realize, I know you realize how widespread this is, but since this happened to me, any number of women have come and said, I had to separate from my husband. And let's talk about the elephant in the living room. Finances are a big part of it.
Yes.
I mean, you can plan for your retirement, but when to go together to an assisted living facility, even before you're ready to go to an assisted living facility, just to remain with your partner, which seems like the only choice, you're talking about $10,000-$12,000 a month.
Yeah.
And how long could that go on for the average person, even if they've done well for themselves in retirement? So, if John went into an assisted living facility, he would then qualify for some VA help, which he didn't qualify for in an independent living facility.
Right.
So then you talk about making a heart-wrenching decision based on money, and that seems even more horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're left in this terrible place. So I want to go beyond that, though. Once you make these decisions and they're done and you have given yourself time to recover, there is life after this and there is purpose in it. There's something you're supposed to do without supervision.
Yeah.
Most women have been, you know, with their parents and then their husbands and then their children, and they have not made a lot of time on their own.
Right.
There's a time when you've gathered all the wisdom of 70 or 80 or 90 years, but there is still work for you to do that is meaningful, that is part of a passion you've carried for a long time, to make decisions on your own, to be responsible for yourself. And that's not a bad thing. That's just another part of your life growth experience.
Exactly, another part of growth.
And you begin to feel like a real person again after a while. But that sort of, I'm a hopeless failure feeling is not where you want to stay, nor do you have to. So again, I encourage emotional support counseling of some kind from anyone you trust. And all emotional support counseling is letting you talk it out to hear your own voice and to reach into your own internal desires.
Yeah.
A good counselor will just keep you talking the whole time. They don't do very much. And they may not seem like they're earning their money or whatever you're doing, but they are, because they're getting you to talk to yourself.
Right.
In a way that isn't destructive.
And sometimes you just need to say it out loud with another person there.
And you can do it with a friend if the friend is qualified, but often they just tell you their story.
Yeah, I got one better than that.
That's right. Then the other thing I would say, I wrote a book called The Handbook of Spiritual Tools,
Reaching
Beyond
book.
The Challenge to Find the Solution. the spiritual tools are things like gratitude and compassion and trust and kindness. And the book tells you how to do that, how to wrap your problem up, whatever it is, in and hand it over to spirit, and then get out of spirit's way by going out and doing things that make you feel better.
Right.
Chemically, they make you feel better. They make changes in your brain. When you do an act of kindness, you have a chemical change. The person you're kind to has a chemical change. And even somebody who happened to watch you do it has a chemical change.
You know,
all feel good chemicals.
Every morning, I take that Good Morning Seminole picture. I feel good.
Yes, you do.
And then I
you
share
do.
It with people, and they feel good. And it's such a fabulous way to start the day.
It is, and I see Channel 10 is copying you now. They're running a moment of Zen.
Oh, they?
And showing natural pictures just like yours right at the close of the news.
Very cool. Well, they actually, a while back, probably a year back, they came and they did a bit on me. And they came out and they followed me, taking my pictures and everything. So that was pretty cool.
And they learned.
Yeah, yes, we all learn. We all learn.
So, talking about it, this program that allows people to say, oh my goodness, it isn't just me, and these awful things I'm thinking about myself aren't really true. They're true to the level, at the physical level, but they're not because I mean to be anything other than a loving caregiver. It's
right.
That I've just given out. I used to say, I didn't get used, I got used up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just drained. You know, I can't tell you how many times someone will be in a support group and all of a sudden they'll just blurt out, you know, I wish God would just take my loved one. And then all of a sudden you hear another person say, my sister and I were saying the same thing the other day, but we feel so bad about it.
Yeah. Well, but my husband fortunately was not, I won't say he hasn't lost some of his faculties,
right.
because he's been sick for so long.
Right.
And in and out of so many facilities and had so much anesthesia and medicine.
Right.
But he's really not to the stage where he's either suicidal, nor did I think he should be.
Right.
But you just hate to see them suffer all the time, and you can't do anything about it. And it's the discovery that you can't do anything about it that is the big news. Because up until then, you think, surely I can fix this if I just do one more thing. Call one more person, try one more pill, you turn one more doctor. There's got to be an answer, and there comes a point where you have to accept that that's that person's journey, not your journey.
Yeah, and it takes
a
village.
And that they have to have it by themselves to some extent. You can't do it. I was so obsessed. All the times John was in the hospital, which was many, and months in rehab, I slept every night in a chair by his bed because I didn't think the night nurses would take care of him. Now, that's absurd.
Yeah.
And people said it was absurd. And I thought, well, what do you mean? If I'm not there, he won't get water when he needs it, or he won't be able to go to the bathroom when he needs to, or he can't be turned over if he's itching. Well, you know, there are times when we all have to live with our stuff.
Oh, and there's times, too, that we go into those places, and, they're not going to come in and help them if they know you're there.
That's true. That's right. They never did anything while I was there, because, after all, I was there.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, caregivers, please listen to what we're saying here, and please, for anything that's happened, just forgive yourself.
Please.
It's so important. You know, I struggle with those kind of things myself. I've been having a really tough time during this pandemic. I've been having some depression and and also my husband is ill. And blaming myself for stuff and just feeling sad, and it's tough. And
you mean you're human?
Yeah. And I want to say that to people, because people go, you, Linda? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said to me. You, who've counseled people all these years in this condition and have been in 100 nursing homes, and, you know, how could you get yourself into this place?
Right.
Well, I didn't get myself in, but I let myself get in.
Right. You let yourself get in. And that's what I'm saying, too. Many times we need to reach out to our families and friends and tell them exactly what's going on.
Well, you certainly need to tell somebody. In my case, we didn't have that capability. But my own son was helpful as he could be, but he wasn't John's son, you know, so
right.
he couldn't make decisions on his behalf. His children are out around the world and not really able or willing to help. So we did. He had one brother who is the same age, 18 months younger. So there really was no family right. to call on.
Right. Well, you know, I love caregiver support groups because, like, believe me, I'm no wizard here. I don't have all the answers. But every single time there's a group, there's someone to relate to someone else.
Sure.
There's someone that can understand what's, or there's someone that just went through what that person is going through now and can say, mm-hmm. you know, I felt the same way. Can say, don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up. Because we do a real good job of beating ourselves up as caregivers also.
Even though
we think we're the bomb in our one part of our brain, the other part are like, oh, I'm a failure.
Listen, you're not only feeling a failure as a caregiver, you feel a failure as a parent or a spouse or a daughter or son. You somehow let this terribly important person down.
Right.
And you have to accept that you and no one else can hold people up there beyond reason. And it just happens. And it could happen to anyone and does happen to a lot of people. And it's just part of life. And there's so much emotion involved. The end of a 40-year marriage, a 30-year marriage, and a 40-year relationship to me was unthinkable.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going to live.
Yes.
And so is he.
Yes.
And so is he.
Yes.
But not the way we did before. It's just different.
Well, you know, many times I talk to caregivers of people with disabilities and different things. Now, mm-hmm. we understand when they need help. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
I think we have a caller.
Yes, we have Debbie on the line.
Okay, hello, Debbie.
Hello, Linda. It's Deb Cell Savage. How are we doing?
Joyful and grateful. How are you today?
We're doing great. And this is really interesting. You know, you're talking about what your guest is talking about, Lauren, and it's so prevalent, like you said, in what we deal with our caregiver support groups as far as acceptance. For where they're at and where we are as caregivers, and not letting go letting go is very different than giving up. And none of our caregivers are giving up.
No.
We're just letting go of things that we really can't manage anymore. So it's really cool to see a caregiver that has such acceptance as Lauren has for a situation that maybe she wouldn't be able to give her person the best quality of life that she wants to.
Right, right.
And we talk about that with our support groups all the time about quality of life, and that's different for everyone. So it's really been a great show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you heard the great news about Mary Daniel, right?
I sure did. We've been following her, and it's really interesting that, like you said, one person can have such an impact, but this isolation has already been part of what we see our caregivers go through each and every day.
Yeah.
But to have this forced isolation, you were talking about situations that happen. I just had a person that decided that she wanted to take her mom home. When she finally decided to make that decision, her mom had lost 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And she brought her home on Tuesday, and Wednesday morning she was gone.
Oh.
Those are things that shouldn't happen. Why are we not calling in help and support? Why are we not allowing this isolation is causing declines, and it should be noticed. 40 pounds is a lot of weight for some of our folks. And that's what we have primarily heard in most every case, is the weight loss. But other things like Lauren was talking about is internal too. A loss of a smile, a loss of gratitude on both sides. And this has to be talked about, and this has to be worked out differently. We should not be doing this.
And we shouldn't do it alone.
We shouldn't do it alone. And
we don't have to.
I think when we talked about doing support groups together, part of our conversation was we provide resources. How are we going to provide resources? But what we do is this has really helped both of us. It's helped us connect to our caregivers again, and we are giving them resources and hope to come back for the next support group.
Yep, and we're all learning something new every day.
We certainly are. And Mary Daniels is speaking for a lot of caregivers. And like you said before, that our professional caregivers in assisted livings and nursing homes are burnt out.
Yep.
And they don't have that added support from the family. So we're all missing out in these decisions. It's about time we started having a conversation about something different. We're all missing.
Yep.
Every one of us are missing out.
Yeah. I so appreciate
and
you,
and it
Debbie.
Has consequences. It has consequences, too. So we're seeing those now.
Yeah.
So great show. It's great listening to Lauren. And, of course, seeing you again, Linda. We'll see you again next week.
And I'll see you Wednesday night.
All righty. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Have a delicious day. Lauren, can you hang out a little longer after we have the next bank of listeners?
Sure can.
Okay. It's time to hear from our wonderful partners. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's TAM Talk Radio Network.
You know what that means. Time to get in your pen and paper because the events are starting to happen again. A lot of them are via Zoom. This past week, I was lucky to do my first live presentation since the COVID, and it was actually in a large auditorium. So there were only a few people, like 15 people there that was distanced and physically distanced. And then it was also recorded. But I was kind of weird. I was like so happy to be in front of people and with people. So like when I crack a joke, I can hear them laugh and stuff. But like, it was like 3/4 through the presentation. And I was like, excuse me for a minute. Could you guys tell me if you're smiling? Could you give me a thumbs up if you're smiling under those masks? And I got some thumbs up, so I was okay. But
yes, you can't see their eyes. You can't tell whether they're laughing or not.
I know, and some are just listening, and you know, but whatever. It was weird. They all gave me a thumbs up, so it was okay. Tuesday, August 18th, Tipa Snow is doing a webinar, Learning the Difference Between Letting Go and Giving Up on Your Dementia Caregiving Journey. I'm just going to rattle these off, and if you're interested in any of them, just message me through my website, and I'll send you the URL to them. Tam Cummings, Thursday the 13th, Compassion Fatigue and Dementia Caregivers. Thursday the 20th, Guilty as Charged, Dementia Caregiver Guilt. And Thursday the 27th, Preparing to Move Your Loved One into a Community During COVID-19. So all of those give a lot of great information. Also, at the VA on Friday the 21st, Karen Truman will be presenting Managing Difficult Behaviors. And I will be doing a sneak peek on August 21st. Connecting Caregiver Support Group presents a sneak peek in You, Me, and Dementia. There's going to be an interactive seminar between Brian LeBlanc, who is living with dementia, and Maureen Rulison, who is his care partner. And we're going to share the inside scoop of what it is like to be living in a dementia relationship. So this is just going to be a sneak peek on August 21st, and then there'll be more detailed seminars after that. So if you're interested in any of that, please go to my website. So, Lauren, what's the last thing my caregivers need to hear from you?
Well, it seems to be terminology here. I'm hearing your last caller used certain words, and you just said that you were talking about a seminar, the difference between letting go and giving up.
Mm-hmm.
When I did marriage counseling, I used to say it isn't letting go that hurts, it's holding on that hurts. And yeah. When I posted that on Facebook, I used to run a video that had a man holding onto the bumper of a car while somebody else drove away, and he just bumped down the road until he let up. And when he let up, pain stopped.
Mm.
So we need to latch on to whatever verbiage works for us to understand that there's a difference between have enough and quitting. They're not the same thing. When you had enough, you don't have any choice but to let go. And so if you do it, stop a little bit before that and pay attention and say, you know, the worst could happen. What is it, and how would it be, and how can I live with it if that has to be the choice? Then that's better self-care than anything else.
Yeah,
the other thing I would say is talk to someone. Don't mm-hmm. be alone in this, because afterward you'll find out you never were alone.
All right. You don't know how many times I hear that later on. If only I knew. If only, you know, I had talked to somebody. And please, caregivers, don't feel guilty. Don't feel like you made a mistake, like you're a failure. I have so many caregivers that come to me and they're just so worn out. They feel like I just couldn't do it. You can't do everything.
No, and my husband's famous line to his congregants always was, "Who died and left you captain of the world? God has not given up on your patience. And neither has the whole universe." And
yeah. And
you can't meet that no matter how hard you try. So start taking care of yourself so that you can take care of that person.
Yeah. Well,
one way or another.
It's been fabulous having you on the show today. Where can our listeners find you, and where can they find your Spiritual Tools book?
The Spiritual Tools Store, www.thespiritualtoolsstore.com. has all kinds of assists.
Okay, and I'll put that information on the show too.
And I am on Facebook, Lauren McLaughlin. I post every day on these things, and they can message me there anytime if they want to just see if they need counseling. I'm happy to give a conversation to see if this mm-hmm. is something they want to get into.
Okay, my friends, thank you so much. I hope to see you face to face soon.
Yeah, love you dearly and admire you hugely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thanks. So this week, the last night actually, was the Hearts and Hope concert that we've been talking about every week, and it was absolutely fabulous. It was live on YouTube. They had like 8 different performers. They had a lot of great sponsors, but they had some fabulous, heartfelt videos in between. There was one video of my friend Michelle Lowak and her dad with one of the animatronic dogs that we have talked about and how much he was happy with it. There was just so much, but one of the most important parts of it is there was a small part of the video was with Officer Joel Quattlebaum, and the money that's raised from these Hearts and Hopes concerts, part of it goes to help the police department to be able to do what they needed to do. So, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody that we know in the community, Maria Kahlberg, who's another fabulous woman, found a woman on the road that was homeless, an elderly woman that hadn't had any shelter in a couple of days. Well, through the money raised from this concert, through that fund, they were able to get the woman a hotel room. And they were able to get her the resources she needed the next day. Another person that Joel went to see, she had holes in her floor and she had them covered with carpeting. You know how dangerous that is. And some of these things need to be done immediately. Like that woman needed a hotel room immediately. This woman needs that. These funds are there to be able to do something immediately when it's really needed. So I am grateful to Hearts and Hope and Better Living for Seniors and Joel Quattlebaum and all the people that are helping. And I will post that video. I'm going to put it under the concert underneath the blog on my website. So if any of you guys want to see that, do that. Please go to the website, nominate somebody from the caregiver contest. Tune in again next week. I will be here with fabulous guests for you. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.